For the rest of us, would you turn with me in your Bibles to the book of James, chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 2 through 8. We are living in some trying times, yes?
Yes.
Pondering that this week, and what the Lord moved me to bring for a message today is a message entitled, Faith Develops Endurance. Faith Develops Endurance. Foundational scripture is James 1, verses 2 through 8. Beginning to read in verse 2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. Let's pray together. Father, we just thank you for your word. Lord, we know that every jot and tittle in your word is there for a reason. So Lord, we just pray that today you would lead us into all truth as we explore your word. Pray, Lord, that as I bring this word forth, you would hide me behind the cross of Calvary, that you would step forth and reveal yourself, and that, Lord, you would put a watch on my mouth, that I would only speak the words that you have ordained for this morning, not a word more or a word less than all that is in your will. In Jesus' name, amen. We are living in times that are causing many people that are faint of heart to lose hope. Suicide numbers in our nation and in the world as a whole are up drastically in every age group. Death was up by 40% in our nation in 2021 over 2020. According to several major insurance companies as they track these statistics. I don't know how many of you guys realize that, but death overall in our nation was up last year 40% over the year before. And the majority of it was not COVID. Insurance companies track this stuff. They are all concerned for their company's survival because of all of the life insurance payouts. With the amount of deaths that are taking place, and it's every age group, and life insurance payouts, so an increase that catastrophic can swamp major insurance companies. So what am I telling you? More than likely, with this happening, the insurance companies are going to be forced to drastically raise the rates of life insurance on all new policies. Now, when that happens, it could possibly get so expensive that people will not buy them. That will force the insurance companies deeper into the red. Am I making sense to you all? Okay? So you understand why they track the numbers of deaths and the age groups and all of that, because they have to keep analyzing that to make adjustments in how they do business, because otherwise they don't survive. We are looking at a shortage of blood soon in our blood banks, a major shortage, as the Red Cross does not take blood from people who have had the shots. Red Cross will not take blood from people that have had the shots. In the last 2 years, we have endured a man-made plandemic, which has included social distancing, forced masking, and forced experimental shots. We have seen our God-given rights challenged as our government at every level has turned tyrannical. School boards and teachers are acting like our children belong to them instead of to the parents. Schools are pushing the critical race theory agenda down our children's throats. Parents that understand what is going on are wringing their hands, not knowing what to do. Our constitutional rights, along with the Bill of Rights, are being walked all over by this tyrannical government. Am I telling the truth so far?
Yes.
This is what we're dealing with. Now, I need you to understand something. I am not talking about all of this because I decided, you know what I'm going to do today? I'm going to make everybody crawl out of here. They're so down after I preach. So what I'm saying to you is an upside is coming. This message is about faith. All right? And I absolutely love to preach about faith. It's one of my pets. If you've been around here a long time, you know that's a true statement. I mean, I get lit up preaching about faith. God, when he saved my sorry soul almost 40 years ago, gave me an extra measure of faith I've learned over the years. I have a lot of faith just because God gave it to me. It's not because I'm anybody special. God gave me an extra measure of faith to be able to do what I do. All right? And so, anyway, I love to preach on faith. So the bottom line is, I could go on for hours, but I think you get the idea what I'm talking about. The truckers have had enough and are doing what they can to protest all of this tyranny. It is time for those of us who are born again believers to exercise our faith and say no more to these tyrannical practices at every level in our government. To make it through this victoriously, we must have endurance. And that's where our faith comes in. Okay? Not talking about taking up arms. All right? However, our Constitution gives us that right when it gets too tyrannical. Our fathers, our national fathers, put that in our Constitution because they knew that it was possible for a government again to turn tyrannical and be self-serving instead of serving the people. When a government forgets that it's a government of the people, by the people, and for the people, it is not a government of the government, by the government, and for the government. And I think, and I know that there are a lot of people agree with me, that they need reminded. And I thank God for the truckers. All right? They've taken a stand. Not violent. They're not violent. They're taking a stand. They're getting people's attention. You understand they have the capacity to shut down every nation in this world. Because if the trucks don't move, supplies don't move, and shelves go empty. You need to understand the amount of power that the truckers have. In verse 2 of our text, we'll call that our first major point. It says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds." That's the hard part for me. I have no qualms about God being all-powerful. I have no qualms with that. My faith is strong in the Lord. I know He can do all things. My issue is, I just don't understand sometimes what He's doing. Isn't that true? Sometimes we just don't understand what God's doing. Or the whys. And guess what? He don't have to tell us if He don't want to. I'm figuring that out. His ways are higher than my ways. Because He's God and I'm not. How about you? It's a really good thing He's God and I'm not, because if I were God, I would have already smoked a few people. And verse 3 goes on to say, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance is another word for endurance. Notice it says, the testing of your faith. This is where it gets down right in the trenches, guys. Because when you start talking about the testing of your faith, what that is really talking about is hard times. See, when we're on the mountaintop and everything is going our way, that doesn't exercise our faith in any way. An endurance runner, a person who does decathlons, people that have to gut it out, how do they get better? How do they get faster? How do they get stronger? They exercise. And it's painful. When you run until you throw up, and then you run some more, how many of you here have done that sport? Come on. I was a runner back in the day. I ran and threw up a few times. And then run some more. Because that's how you condition your body. So why would we think that we can keep building our faith without going through trials? Our trials exercise our faith. And every time we come out the other side of some catastrophic trial in our lives, victorious, and if we're in Christ, we already have the victory. You understand? If you're in Christ, you've got the victory already. We exercise our faith and come out the other side victorious. And then when we look back at that and say, boy, I didn't think I was going to make it, but God brought me through. Then when the next trial comes, we can reflect on the ones that we've been through and came out the other side victorious. And that builds our faith stronger for the next trial that we go through. How many of you have recognized in your life that Jesus wasn't just kidding when He said, in this world you will have trouble? Yeah. But take heart. How many of you like it that He didn't stop there? But take heart, for I have overcome the world. Praise God. Hallelujah. So the testing of your faith develops perseverance or endurance. consider that pure joy. That takes some meditation on the Lord. That takes getting into worship wherever we're at. Driving down the road, getting into worship. Because I tell you what, you've got to reside in God's presence to be able to actually have joy through those trials. You've got to, because we cannot do that in our own strength. At least I can't. Is anybody here more spiritual? I mean, you can do it in your own strength? I didn't think so. It takes God for us to be able to do that. Consider it pure joy. It's just hard to say, oh, thank you, Jesus, for the trial I'm going through right now. It's hard. Now, you might be able to do it, but can you be sincere doing it? Well, you know, you can't talk about something like this without visiting Job. That guy, that poor guy, went through more trials than you and I will ever experience. I completely believe that. So let's look at Job 23, verses 10 through 12. Job 23, verses 10 through 12. Job's an interesting book. I met a guy one time. Did I ever tell you this? I met a guy one time that actually got saved reading Job. He told me that, and I was like, how in the world does that work? So he started explaining to me. I don't have the time to explain that all to you. But yeah, I got saved reading Job. That proves God can work through anything. Job 23, verses 10 through 12. But he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I will come forth as gold. My feet have closely followed his steps. I have kept to his way without turning aside. I have not departed from the commands of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my daily bread. Do you guys see this? What I see in these few verses we just read is a recipe for us to be able to fulfill what we just read about considering it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Job has given us a recipe here. He said, when I've been tested, I'm going to come forth as gold. He didn't have any doubts about it. He was exercising his faith. He's like, yep, I'm going through it right now. But after I go through it, when I've been refined through this test, I'm going to come out the other side shining as polished gold. And faith. He was exercising his faith. And we're talking about a guy that went through it. He had boils all over his body. He went and sat on an ash heap where they threw broken pottery as well, and sat and scratched his boils on his body with broken pieces of pottery. This guy went through it. He was hurting. He says, my feet have closely followed his steps. I was thinking about that, and I was thinking back. How many of you remember way back when you were, especially guys, when you were a little boy and your dad was your hero? You know, it was before you were a teenager and you didn't know anything. I'm talking about prior to being a teenager. You know, when he went from a hero to a zero. Did anybody? See, I remember out on the farm, we'd get a big old snowstorm and we had to go from the house all the way down the lane to the barn. And my dad would go ahead of me and he was like me, he had long legs and a long stride. And I would be behind him, jumping in his footsteps in the deep snow, stepping in his footsteps. Partly because the snow was so deep, but partly because he was my hero and I wanted to step in his steps because I wanted to do everything he did. You understand what I'm saying? Job says, my feet have closely followed his steps. My God is my hero. He says, I have kept to his way without turning aside. In other words, he hadn't gone off to the right, he hadn't gone off to the left. He was staying in between the lines in his lane. You know, if we want God's best, we have got to get over taking a walk on the wild side ever so often. Does somebody know what I'm talking about? A lot of people just decide, you know, I've been doing good for a long time, so I'm just going to do this. And they take a walk on the wild side for a while, and then jump back in again. Jump back in line. You understand what I'm saying? And if we want God's best, we've got to quit doing that. It's not popular to preach about that today because nobody wants to hear about sin. Tell me how much God loves me. Tell me about God's grace, but don't talk to me about my failures. Don't talk to me about my sin. But if that's the way you feel, you're in the wrong church. Because we're going to talk about sin here. I need to hear it. Because I'm a sinner saved by grace. And even though I'm a pastor, I don't like it, but sometimes I sin. Sometimes in my anger. Sometimes in my ignorance. So I think it's relevant we talk about sin, amen? Amen. He says in verse 12, I have not departed from the commands of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my daily bread. Guys, that is a recipe to be able to praise God through all things. Even every trial. Powerful, powerful recipe. The clock's moving, I gotta move on. So the testing of your faith develops perseverance or endurance. In verse 4 it says, perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. How many of you would like to be mature and complete in the Lord, not lacking anything? Amen. That's my goal. I'm not there yet. My wife, you know, she raised 4 kids. I was one of them. And I'm older than her. But I'm told that boys' brains develop slower than girls. I don't know.
That's true.
That's what I'm told. I don't know. I'm not a neurologist, so I don't know. But that's what I've been told.
I'm a mom. It's true.
You're a mom. You are a mom.
That's right.
Jeremy, what do you think?
Okay.
I was just checking. Job 5, verses 17 and 18. It says, blessed is the man whom God corrects. So do not despise the discipline of the Almighty. For he wounds, but he also binds up. He injures, but his hands also heal. That's our God. You know, in that I also see a balance for raising children. Sometimes the hand of discipline needs to be raised, or you end up with spoiled brats. But there also has to be the balance of the loving hand that comes with healing and support. That's the balance that we need as parents. And that is love. And see, that's what we get from God. See, a lot of this is all out of whack. We can thank for one person, Dr. Spock, for messing this all up.
Yeah.
People are trying to raise their kids according to the book written by Dr. Spock. And I'm sorry, but you don't have a clue. Yeah. Children that are not raised in that balance have a hard time fathoming when they have not been disciplined at all and they turn out to be spoiled brats. They tend to reject the discipline of God and not want God. And trust me, everyone that belongs to God, everyone that has given their life to Christ, everyone is going to be disciplined from time to time. Because we screw up. He gives us a lot of grace. There's no doubt about that. And he loves us endlessly. There's no doubt about that either. But he's just. He's a faithful, loving, just Father. In verse 5 it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. You know, every time I look at wisdom, I can't do that without looking at Solomon. He prayed for wisdom, and God gave him everything else. Wealth beyond what you and I can imagine. From what I understand, the amount of wealth that God gave Solomon because he asked for nothing more than wisdom to lead God's people, it by today's standards, his wealth would have been in the trillions. That is amazing. Now, I got questions to ask when I get to glory. Wondering what in the world he needed and whether that was really that wise to have that many wives and concubines.
Yes.
So I got questions. And needed all that money to support them. One of them might have been like Imelda Marcos, man. For those of you who don't remember her, she was the one that had buildings full of shoes. So if anyone lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously without finding fault, and it will be given to him. It's good to pray for wisdom. I pray for wisdom all the time. I'm not near as wise as I should be for as many times as I've asked for it. I admit it. My wife will help me out with that too, probably. But I pray for wisdom. Because even though it's a smaller group, God has tasked me with the responsibility to be his under-shepherd and lead his people. I don't take that lightly. I pray for God's wisdom in that. Because I feel the weight of the responsibility. Ecclesiastes 2 in verse 26. Ecclesiastes 2 in verse 26. To the man who pleases him, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. But to the sinner, he gives the task of gathering and storing up wealth to hand it over to the one who pleases God. I like the way God works. The wealth of the unrighteous is stored up for the righteous. One day we will see the greatest transfer of wealth the world has ever seen. Not that I need to be wealthy but happy, but I'm just showing you what God's Word has to say. And I like it. God gives wisdom and knowledge and happiness to the man who pleases Him. And when it says man, it's speaking of both genders. Not three or four or five genders. I couldn't just skip over that, right? Because of the times we're living in. He says, this too is meaningless and a chasing after the wind. Spiritual wisdom is the practical application of our Lord's teaching to everyday situations. I'll repeat that. Spiritual wisdom is the practical application of our Lord's teachings to everyday situations. I've said for years that when I've been preaching that wisdom is the ability to apply correctly the knowledge that we have. Knowledge without wisdom puffs up, according to the Word of God. Right?
Yes.
You know, the bookworm with a head this big, can't hardly get through a doorway. They got every initial after their name and want everybody to make sure they know it. Well, without Christ in the middle of that, none of that means anything. Because you don't have the wisdom to correctly apply the knowledge that you possess. We can't effectively face the problems in life in our own wisdom. You know, I was trying before I got saved, but I got to live with it. The only thing I think that I got right up to the point that I got saved was marrying that lady right over there. Beyond that, I had my life pretty messed up. Jeremy agrees. He loves it when we are humble and teachable, and He rewards us abundantly. In times of trial, if we lack the spiritual insight we need, ask for it. Ask for it. That's what He's telling us. Ask, and it will be given to you. Pressed down, shaken together. That's used so much only in a financial situation. But it's that way with everything that God has for us. If you lack it, ask for it. If you lack wisdom, ask for it. Third major point is verse 6, but when he asks, he must believe and not doubt. We're talking about faith here. Because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. Verse 7 gets pretty tough. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded man, unstable in all he does. Any questions? Not making fun of anybody, I'm not picking on anybody. But in these last 40 years, since I got saved, baptized with the Holy Ghost, and have walked in this full gospel walk with Christ, I've been in many, many situations praying with people. In James, it's made abundantly clear that we're supposed to anoint with oil, and pray the prayer of faith. Here's the deal. That faith shouldn't only be there when we are speaking the words. That faith needs to carry on throughout that day, and the next day, and the day after that, and the day after that, and the next month, and the next year. You stand, you continue to stand in faith. Too many times I've anointed people and prayed the prayer of faith with them and looked them in the eye when the Lord impressed it on me and said, I believe God is healing you. And right afterwards, have people say like, well, I sure hope I can go to work tomorrow. We were just speaking faith and aligning our faith, and we were just praying for this. But you're having a hard time believing it, so what comes out your mouth is, I sure hope I'm feeling well enough that I can go to work tomorrow. Or, I sure hope I'm feeling well enough that I can go to church tomorrow. Well, the prayer of faith doesn't end when we pray. So, the correct response is, I'm sure glad I'm going back to work tomorrow. I'm sure glad that I'm better and I'm going to be able to go to church tomorrow. I'm sure glad I'm going to be able to do this. I'm sure glad I'm going to be able to do that. Because God's healed me. I know a little bit about what I'm talking about. You guys that have been around here for a few years, you know. I've had several significant healings in my life. Several. None of that because I'm anybody. I already told you, God gave me an extra measure of faith to believe Him for things. He has given me an extra measure of faith to believe for you.
Amen.
But my faith is in Christ. Not in me and not in you. Your faith needs to be in Christ. Not in me and not in you. Or anybody else on this earth. Because our faith needs to be in Him. These hard times that we are living in, I am still standing on the word that God gave me. Let me tell you again, this thing, when God is ready, is going to flip. I'm telling you, it is. I have absolutely no doubt about it. And you know the vision I had of people in the Crowbar hotels? Yeah, baby. There's going to be a bunch of people in the Crowbar hotels. And that's where they belong, for crimes against humanity. Sometimes when we ask, God has full intention of granting what we ask, but holds it back for a while to make us endure in faith. It's through that process that our faith grows. That's why when you pray for something and it doesn't come exactly right away, you keep your faith because God may be doing that very thing. But if your faith wavers, it's quite common that that thing's not going to come to pass because we just read it. It's a double-minded person, and that person shouldn't think they will receive anything from God. And it says that person is unstable in all their ways. Boy, it gets quiet when I preach this stuff. You're thinking, aren't you? God holds back answers sometimes so that we'll learn to endure in faith. And just keep trusting Him. He's been holding back what He showed me for quite a while already. Over a year now. That's all right. God's still on His throne. We're going through the other side. We're going to come through refined as shiny gold, like Job. We already have the victory in Jesus. So are you ready to believe with me?
Yes.
You ready to walk in faith every day, get up every day and say, well, Lord, what are we going to do together today? What's going to happen today? Because I know whatever happens today, we're going through. You know, the list of things that I opened this message with, there are so many things going on. Yesterday, gas in this area went over $4 a gallon. And I read recently that by summer you can expect it to be around 6. What will that do again to our economy? What will that do to people that commute a long ways to work? When all of a sudden they're paying 3 times the amount of money per mile to drive their car. What's that going to do? Faith. Our God makes a way where there's no way. He takes care of His people. We won't have $6 a gallon gas forever if it does reach that point. It won't be forever. This thing is going to flip. But guess what? I've come to the place where I believe, this is not thus saith the Lord, but I've come to the place that I believe that God is going to let things get bad enough that it wakes people up that have been in a slumber. There are a lot of people, unfortunately, that have not been walking in reality. In conclusion, I want to share a story with you that deals with the Christian race. You realize we're in a race, right? A great horse breeder in Kentucky had a splendid monument built over the grave of a famous racehorse. On one side of the monument, there is this inscription: "Here lies the fleetest runner the American turf has ever known." The Christian race is not to the swift, but to the patient. The prize is for the one that endures to the end. And Hebrews 12:1 says this: "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." We're all in a race. If you're a believer, you are in a race, whether you knew it or not. And the key is, we're not in a sprint. We're in an endurance race. And the things that we have gone through previously in our lives are things that have prepared us to be able to endure as we go through. Are you with me? So in spite of the fact that we could by summer see $6 a gallon gas, and the list goes on. Have you noticed when you go to the grocery store lately what's happening? The packages keep getting smaller, and the price keeps getting bigger. Isn't that true? Have you looked at the price of meat lately? It's awful hard on a carnivore. Yeah. I'm a carnivore. I've made that abundantly clear. That makes it tough on us. And there are many other things. Areas of shelving in different stores that are empty. Businesses everywhere crying for help and can't get employees. Prime example. You have trouble getting your prescriptions at Walgreens now if you work a job. They have one pharmacist at this Walgreens. They're not even open on the weekends anymore. It's Monday through Friday. Because they have one pharmacist. This stuff is not an accident. They lost a whole bunch of their pharmacists because they were forcing the jabs. This is man-induced. Man has created this. Only God can fix it. Man did it, not God. But only God can fix it. And He's going to, bless God. I have faith. Because I know what He's shown me. I know what He's spoken to me. I have faith in my God. I don't have a lot of faith in man. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
I don't have a lot of faith in man. But I do have all my faith in God. Faith develops endurance. Are you in the race for the long haul? Are you running it to break the tape? Amen. Let's all stand. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace as you walk out life in this world. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. We love you.